you can play ping pong in the church, okay? Now, what we're going to do is, during that time, he's going to arrange it like a mini stadium. We're going to have the ping pong table here. I heard one life group is gearing all his members, all right? Some condo has a ping pong table. So they're going to gather and they're going to practice their ping pong. All right, now, that's a good one, huh? Okay. You guys okay? Looks a bit quiet. I want to say a joke, but I've forgotten the joke. That was the joke. Yeah, okay, all right. Now, we are in a series. We are in a series called In Christ. Even as you watch the video clip just now, you know, there are things in our lives, sometimes we can continue doing and it's become so religious in that sense, you know, so we got to watch out, right? All the things that we do and you ended up, we can become so legalistic. So we got to step out, all right? Step out and to be in Christ. You know, this morning before service start, I said that in Psalms 144, talk about happy is the man. Happy is the man whose God, whose Lord is God. Okay, all the more, if we are in Christ, you experience far more than you could imagine, right? Love, joy, peace, all that that you can name off. Now, last week, I ended up by saying that if, you know, the Chico, right? Chico. Okay. Christ in, Christ out. Remember? Say with me, Christ in, Christ out. The more of Christ in you, all right? The more of Christ will flow out of you, all right? Because it goes like this. If you are locked into doubt, bitterness, you know, fear. The more of this you entertain, more of this, you actually flow out of your life. If you have fear in your life, you continue to entertain fear, and you have fear in your life, fear actually will flow out of your life. Right? Everywhere you go, rain, umbrella. Okay. Everywhere you go, you know, everything become, what do you call that? You become freaked out, you know. Anything you touch, oh, germs, you know. Everywhere you go, it's all fear. But you have doubt. In your life, you have to think down in your life, everywhere you go, oh, this Coca-Cola, cockroach must have passed through this, I'm not going to drink. You go to a party, oh, I don't know what they use. Maybe they use overnight oil, oh no. You know, you got what I mean? But if you have Christ in, Christ will actually flow out of you, and the joy and the peace that will definitely will flow out of you. I explained that in Christ is within, envelope, embrace, and close. That you are surrounded, okay, by Christ. Say with me, in Christ. When I was very young as a Christian, one of my leader actually shared to me that if you are in Christ, let's say for example, I suddenly thought about this. Huh? I want to take some. Anybody got a bookmark? Okay, never mind, I got this one here. All right. ₱1. Pastor, you take ₱1 as your bookmark? Yeah. Okay, all right. Now. Okay, now. This is you, all right? You are outside. But if you are found in Christ, if you are in Christ, let's say this Christ, you are in Christ. Where are you now? You are all surrounded by Christ. You are in Christ, okay? Tell our neighbor left and right, you are in Christ. Okay, in Christ, huh? Okay, now. Okay, so no matter what you are in and into and all that, you step out to get into Jesus and love Jesus all over again. Okay, so that is the goal, okay, of the message. Now, today, okay, say with me this. Read with me, 2 Corinthians 5:17. So throughout this month, throughout here, just memorize this scripture, all right? Are you ready? 2 Corinthians 5:17. 1, 2, 3. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, today we're going to go to the next one, and it's called strong in him. Say with me, strong. Now, this word strong is... When you say this word strong, it's a bit different, right? So you cannot be strong. Go, strong! Okay, 1, 2, 3. Strong! That's more like it. All right, now, talking about strong, each time when somebody said to you, you're going through some difficult time, they say, May the strength of the Lord be upon you. Or may the peace of God be upon you. All right? May the strength of the Lord be with you. What does that mean? What does that mean when someone say that to you? All right? Otherwise, you go, I'm still weak. You understand what I mean? All right? Now, I showed the youth yesterday to have a suit of a Batman. The main suit cost $1 million, US dollar, right? USD. Now, some time ago, where Star Wars still popular, right? Okay, and it says that, may the force be with you. What does that mean? Or we understand, may the force be with you more than be the strength of the Lord be with you. Which one? You ask Yoda, all right now. So today I'm going to talk about strong. All right, now, scripture. Okay, how to be strong, scripture. Okay, now, the message today will be on strength at all times. How to have strength at all times, or what the Bible talk about strength at all times and strength in all things. Okay, so this will be the outline of the message today. And scripture, Ephesians 6, 10, 11 says, finally, my brethren, finally, my sisters, okay, now, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wall of the devil. All right, so book of Ephesians where Paul wrote, we're actually in the 7 days of prayer and fasting. We have the prayer booklet. We actually encourage everybody to have in the digital form. The more we print, the more we throw, correct? Okay, so you have the digital form. If you do not have, please get from your life group leader. Okay, in your prayer booklet of the 7 days, we also ask you to do some other reading from the book of Ephesians and Philippians. All right, now, book of Ephesians where Paul wrote, if there's only 6 chapters, okay, very easy to read. In one sitting, in less than an hour, you actually finish the book of Ephesians. Okay, if you can read that, you take out your Bible reading, tick, 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 or you already done your Ephesians. Okay, very efficient. All right, now, so if you look at the epistle that Paul wrote Ephesians, you can see in his writing in chapter 1, he talked about redemption. He talked about how to pray a spiritual wisdom. And then in chapter 2, that's when he talked about grace. Right? We are saved by grace. It's in Ephesians 2. All right? So he talked about how to have grace and true faith. He talked about peace. He talked about Christ as being the cornerstone. In chapter 3, he talked about the mystery of Jesus coming, the purpose of that, why Jesus came and how to appreciate that. And then when it comes to chapter 4, if you have a Bible like me, all right, now, in chapter 4, Paul talks about how to walk in unity. That's where Paul said, keep every effort, okay, to keep the unity of the Spirit, and talk a little bit about spiritual gifts. And then he talked about, in chapter 5, he talked about how to walk in love, okay, how to walk in love, and then how to walk in the light, how to walk in wisdom. And then he talked about marriage a bit, okay, marriage and how you look at Christ, okay, as Christ as the head, okay, of the family and the head of the church. And then when he come to chapter 6, okay, he talked about children, parents, bond servants, master, and all that. And when he come to verse 10, they say, finally, all that he has spoken, finally, brethren, be strong to do all that he has said in the earlier chapter, chapter 1 to chapter 5 and 6, half of them. He said, finally, my brother and sister, be strong in the Lord. But how to be strong in the Lord? And when someone or you write in your greeting cards or in your Facebook message, be the strength of the Lord, be with you always. What does that mean? All right. Now, sources where we draw our strength. I do not know where you draw your strength, but many times when we draw our strength, it could be like individual strength. It could be you see yourself, I'm strong. You know, everything you can do by your hands, you know, and somehow you are intelligent above everybody else, or you are just somehow clever right now. Yeah, whatever things that you do, right? Sometimes you just rely on your individual strength. Now, some people will rely on team strength. If this person is alone, cannot. He has to have a team, and then with that team, there's a strength. Now, sometimes when you go around, if this person is alone, he really alone now. But when a group of people come together, the whole group can laugh at the top of their voice. And then they got warning right now. because it's disturbing other tables and all that. Some people depend on their financial strength. They have AD, they have FD, they have saving account, fixed deposit, bonds, okay, share and all that. So every day they will look at their financial strength before they sleep. Mio told me that she has a friend that every day before sleep, you go through. You call it, wait first, I have to go through all my money first, okay, before I sleep. All right, so some people rely, okay, on that strength, okay, financial strength. Now, some people is friendship strength. No friends means die. Must have friend one. No friend, die one. Tell your neighbor left, right? I know someone like that. Some is draw their strength from family, okay, spouse, okay, their children. Every day they look at their children. Every day they look at their spouse. They are not around, oh, no strength, you know. Every minute here and there will call, son, where are you now? Daughter, where are you now? You come back, you eat ready or not? No, the strength is there. Without them, this person do not know what to do, all right, because the strength is in that part. But the truth is this, the strength of God is our inheritance. And God wants to experience His strength. Now, so I'm going to talk about strength in all times. How to have strength in all times. I'm going to bring you through a journey. Okay, examples from the Bible. Okay, we'll talk about strength. So people in the Bible, okay, how they are in certain stage and how, okay, they have strength, okay, in all things. Number one, the nation of Israel. Now, if you have been reading Genesis, you will know the story, right? Now, Genesis, how the Israelites, okay, they are in bondage. They were in Egypt. So they are in slavery, they are in bondage, they are mistreated and abused. Sometimes when you look at your life, probably some of us have been in slavery, you know, bondage, all right? Or you like you have a master that say, do this. Take my paper here. Take my file here. Go to the toilet. Okay. Right. I don't know how many of you have a boss like that. But the Israelites were in Egypt. Okay, they were under bondage slavery because they have such a mean master, okay, the Pharaoh, or that they forced them, okay, to work, and they were mistreated, they were abused. But when it comes to Exodus chapter 13, verse 14, that says this, so it shall be when your son asks you in time to come. Now, when you come to Exodus, that means they have what? Come up from Egypt, and they are going, they are supposed to head, okay, towards the promised land. So here there was a conversation, okay, that the Lord penned out this, that is, it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, say, what is this? That you shall say to him, by strength of hand of the Lord, brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now, that is very interesting because it talks about how God's hand has brought them, has delivered them. So that's why God's strength delivered them. I do not know about whether you still have your grandma or your grandpa still around, okay, still living. Now, I remember those days when my grandma, I never met my both grandpa before. So I do not know how they do like, how they talk. I never knew them. But I knew my grandma, okay, that's my mom's mom, okay, now. So each time when she's around us, I will tend to ask her a lot of questions, the right questions. So you can hear stories of World War II. Last week, Derek was trying to search, how can I know about World War II? So he looked at all these YouTube stories and all that. I said, you got to know whether the source is right, from the rightful source or not. Okay, now. So when you hear from grandma will not tell you about Winston Churchill. Okay, he will not talk to you about Yamashita or that, no. Okay, but grandma or grandpa will tell you about how the Japanese attacked the village. Okay, how they were in fear, how they locked themselves in that house. Okay, how they saved all those potatoes. Okay, eat porridge, and until her age of 80 plus, okay, she still enjoy her potato porridge. When we ask her about Kentucky, what is Kentucky? You bring the best drumstick to her. Holy, I mean, very, but where's my porridge, potato? Still asking for potato porridge, you know. So you hear a story of all the things that they have gone through, and you know that God's strength, okay, that has delivered them, you know, and they survived throughout all that, and how communist Malaya has recruited, you know, people and those days. How British came, I don't know. Some of you have parents, grandparents who speak English, who have worked with the British couple or family and all that. You can hear their stories, you know, how they survived through, how strength has come upon them. And in Exodus chapter 13, 14, you say, when your children, what is this? Ah, it says, by the strength of hand of the Lord has brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. How Moses led the people. By the hand, he raised his staff and the Red Sea was open. Amen. So in times of that you are mistreated, I don't know what went through your mind. Maybe your mother-in-law, your father. Okay, if you are mistreated, don't worry, right? You can remember it is the hand of the Lord, God's strength, will deliver you. Now, in Exodus 19, later on in chapter 19, verse 4 says, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on wing or eagle's wing and brought you to myself. In other words, they could picture in their life how God placed his hand so they could see the eagle, how eagle put the eagle's wing, protected them. So God's strength delivered them. Say with me, God's strength delivered them. Number two, let's look at Daniel. Daniel, the scenario is such, he was in captivity with others as well, and the three Hebrew friends, his good friend, under various rulers, Nebuchadnezzar, that was a joke, said that the king who has a razor in his knee had a razor, right now, Nebuchadnezzar, okay. Belshazzar, King Darius, Belteshazzar, and all that. And he lived as a foreigner, as captives. And what was his scenario? Now, you can read about Daniel, how they changed his name. He changed his name to be, it says, Belteshazzar. Okay, they changed his name and all that. He preserved himself pure and not to consume any of the delicacies, of the king. And when it comes to chapter 10, here was a scenario where Daniel was praying. He was praying for 21 days. Okay, Daniel chapter 10, you can read the whole chapter. He was praying for 21 days. Not only praying, he was fasting. So the Bible says there's no meat, no drink, no meat, nothing that he will consume. Today, we just do 7 days. Not only one day, we say we want to eat really hungry. Right, true or not? Okay, now. We'll try to do one more, maybe middle of the year. Maybe I cut down, maybe 3 days. Just fast 3 days and see how it goes. All right, now. 7 days, very long. Okay, now. Yeah, at least you fast a meal per day. I think it's still all right, right? You commit that hour. Okay, how long you take for your lunch? 1 hour? 2 hours? How many take lunch? 1 hour? Majority. Given a break, 1 hour. Oh, okay, so few only. That means the rest of you given a break 2 hours. Okay, pray 2 hours. The rest 1 hour, pray 1 hour. All right, now. 2 hours, you pray 2 hours. Okay, now. So he come to a place and he praying for 21 days and asked for a vision from God and praying for 21 days and nothing came. So he was already fasting. He already in a place that no drink, no food and all that. And in verse 10, in verse 8 says, therefore, I was left alone and I saw a great vision. No strength remained in me. That means he come to a place there's no more strength, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. He became so weak. I do not know about you. Some of us, like, we do all kinds of things. I don't know whether meaningful or not, but you come to a place, you can so weak because you do this, do that, running up and down, but heading nowhere. But here was Daniel, fasting and praying for 21 days. Now, for up from verse 10 to verse 14, tell you the scenario where he has no strength at that moment. And verse 10, it says, suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palm of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking, the word came to me, I stood trembling. So you can know that Daniel was kneeling down, he was fasting and was praying and all that for 21 days and already passed. Okay, 7 days, we ask you to pass and pray 7 days, but past the 7 days, still praying, all right? Because no answer came, no vision came until in this portion, okay, in chapter 10, verse 10 to 14 over here. They asked him to stand upright, but he was already so weak. Now, continue.
Then he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard." So sometimes when you're praying and praying and praying and thought that there's no answers coming, what happened? So the angel came and said, "The first day you sat down and pray and humble yourself, we already heard your prayer. Okay, then I've come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, the archangel, one of the chief princes." So Daniel was praying and seeking, and until he has no strength, he fall flat, right? He's still praying. But I know many who fall flat, you sleep the roost. Okay, no? And here, when he sent that cry, God sent the angel to deliver the answer. But for 21 days, he couldn't come. So for 21, he was blocked by the king of Persia, just like when you play the game, you block the people from crossing. And here was the angel coming, but he couldn't cross until Michael, one of the chief priests, Bible calls the, we call Michael the archangel, all right, came to help me, okay, fight with king of Persia. Well, it sounds like a movie that you can do, right now. "For I have been left alone there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to the people in the later days, and that's where the prophecy of the end time and so on. For the vision refers to the many days that's yet to come." So God gave him the vision. Now, Daniel, after that, in 18 and 19, then again, this is what he says. "The one," that's the angel, "having the likeness of a man, touched me and strengthened me." And he said, "Oh man," not O-L-D, "greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong." Yes, be strong. "So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, 'Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me.'" God's strength sustained him. So in other words, whatever situation you're in, that you come to a place, you pray and pray, it may not be 21 days, maybe yours is 50 days, or maybe a few years you've been praying and praying and praying, and you pray until a point that don't know what to pray anymore. But here is an encouragement that the angel came and touched, okay, Daniel, and strengthened him. That's where God's strength come upon Daniel. Amen? Can I have a good amen? Yes, that's Daniel. Let's continue. Let's talk about David. Now, David, the scenario is when God delivered him out of Saul and enemies. Now, if you know the story well, David is supposed to be the next king, but Saul was full of insecurity and jealousy, and he wants to kill, all right, David for taking his throne. Now, so he was running. He was a refugee and was running. Now, at that moment, David wrote Psalms 18, verse 32 to 36, that says this: It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect, makes my feet like the feet of a deer." Do you like the feet of a deer? Okay. Now, you talk about deer that can go up to the mountaintop. And it's amazing how the deer can go up because it has the feet of a deer. Today, those who are rock climbers and all that, if you venture that, you know, so tough in order to go up, right? You need all this harness and all that. But the deer does not need all this harness. He doesn't wear a helmet. He doesn't wear a rope that's tied to him. No, all right? He has the feet of a deer. "He enabled me to stand on the heights. He trains my hand for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze." I don't know whether you have tried archery. Yes, in order to bend that, it looks easy. Went somewhere else. So right now, "You gave me your shield of victory and your right hand sustained me. You stooped down to make me great." Wow. When you read that, God chose to stoop down so that David can rise. "You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn." So in times of trouble where the enemies are all out over you, and how can you be strengthened? So David says, "It's your strength that armed me for battle and challenges." Now today when I was reading, I look at it, wow, the Chinese Kung Fu people must have learned from the Bible. If you look with me at Psalms 144, if you have your Bible with you, or your what?
now people don't use Nokia anymore, right? NIV, Nokia International Version. Now it's what? Okay, now. It's Psalms 4:4, verse 1 says, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hand for war." And then this is Psalms of Psalmist David says, "Huh? And my fingers for battle." This is where all the Chinese Kung Fu come. Fingers. He learned the technique from here, right? Train my fingers for war. All right, so that is David at the time that he was running, okay, from King Saul. Now, there was also another scenario where his own men wanted to stone him as the enemies attacked their home and took away their families. People that he had gathered, he had trained them, and then stood with him, fight battles and all that, and come to a place where his own men wanted to stone him. Just like when you are leading and you have all your men, one day all persecute you, all go against you, how would you feel? Now, this is David. The scenario is such. In 1 Samuel 22 says here, "David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him, and everyone who was in distress, everyone was in debt." Okay, now, 1 Samuel 22, this passage is where he gathered, okay, where he gathered all the people as his army, right? So that was the scenario where they have these people who are all over, they are lost, they do not know what to do, and David gathered them. Who are these people that he gathered? This his own men, okay? Who are these people? In verse 2, "And everyone who was in distress," these people are distressed. They do not know what to do. They probably want to take their own life and gone. Bye-bye. You know? Everyone who was in debt, they have debt all over. Along is all chasing them. All right. Now, everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So, David gathered these people and became his men. Those are all those movies that you have watched. Huh? All right, now. And so, he became captain over there. He gathered them, he trained them, he became a captain. And there were about 400 men with him. And these are the people who stay with him and go for war. Now, continue. Huh? Same. Okay, now. David. Okay, same one. Okay, now. Now, it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag. And on the third day, this is chapter 30. This now was chapter 22. So fast forward to chapter 30. Now this is what happened. They already won a few wars. Now in chapter 30, something terrible took place. Now it happened when David and his men, who are they? The 400, probably they have increased. Now came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire. David has made Ziklag his home place. Okay, while he's running, he has made Ziklag his home place where all his 400 men, his family and all were dead. It's like the hometown, okay, during the season. And what happened was, it was being attacked by Amalekites, burned down with fire, in verse 2, and taken captives, the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, praise God, right? But carried them away and went their way. So in other words, their home place, they went for war and they came back. Their whole village is burn. Everyone has been brought captives. And then what happened in verse 3? So David and his men came to the city and it was burned with fire, and their wives, their son, their daughters has been taken captive. How would you feel? You are here going to war. It's like you're serving God and do all those, and then your home is being attacked. And all the men who follow David, they say, "I'll stone David." And then David and the people who were with him lifted up with their voices and wept until they had no more power to wept. And then David's two wives, he has two wives, doesn't mean that you can marry two wives. Huh? Okay, now, Aniel and Israelites, bigger, the widow of Nebo, the Carmelite, have been taken captive. Now, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grief. Every man or for his sons and daughters who are not grief. Right? All his men who follow him, who sacrifice, in a sense, they say, for all, they forego whatever they have, they follow David, and here they have been attacked and their wives and sons and daughters were taken captive and they all want to stone him. And what happened to David? But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. I do not know about you, in situation like this, when everything turns bad, nobody want to plan for something bad, but when things all turn bad,
turn worse and is unthinkable, you know, uncalled for, and all those, what will you do? David, in the Bible says, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, says, but David strengthened himself in the Lord. In other words, God's strength will come. God's strength will give you new courage, give you new strategies, new spirit to redeem what was taken. You can go back and read the rest, chapter 30. He went, he asked for a sign, he went and fight against Amalekites and rescue everyone, every bit. Wives, sons, and daughters, and whatever that has been taken captive to bring back, because he strengthened himself in the Lord, and God gave him new courage, new strategies, new spirit, okay, to redeem what was taken away. Amen? All right, now continue. Oh, what did I press? Okay, all right. Now, Samson. How many of you want to name as Samson? Nobody. Everybody want to keep fit. Don't want to grow fat. Okay, now, scenario. Samson was in captives of the Philistine due to his own foolishness. Why? Eli, okay, you come. Right now, most of you knew the story of Samson, how he was driven with lust, lured by Delilah, at a point that he not even know God has left him. He has given such anointing, such power, such strength to be the judge of Israel, okay, to rescue, to deliver, okay, his people. But he has this problem called lust. And he gone into a Philistine woman, and this lust, all right, that has taken away his power and anointing. You know, sometimes you can go on, or they think that, oh, okay, you know, do some certain kind of things that the Bible says no, but continue doing. Oh, but I still can do this. I still can serve God. Okay, I still can sing. I still can worship. Do you know that I have many years ago, all right, we had a group of teams. We went to rescue, so-called rescue, not rescue. Okay, now we have a phone call by a mother grieving and say how the daughter has become, what's the word used? Mental and all those and all that. So with a group of few of us, we went, okay, to persuade, okay, that's the right word, okay, to persuade, not Leon, okay, to persuade this girl to come out, because we're going to take her to the Ruma, to this mental hospital in Pera Road. Okay, so with that process, kind of start story short, we're able to invite her, encourage her, and persuade her to get into the church van. Then off we go, so I drive. I say, oh dear, I don't know what's going to happen to her in a mental hospital. So she will say, Pastor Jonathan. No, before that, she said, I worship you, Almighty God. She's just sitting behind me, you know, in the van. Pastor Jonathan, you see, I can worship God, you know. You see, I can worship God. Scary, right? So you're like, suddenly you're like, hey, is she okay? All right, can worship God, right? Now, friends, sometimes when people are in sin, thinking that they are all right. Here, Samson, he come to a place where he think that he still had power. Okay, he was all tied up and all that. He still can flex his muscle. Like Dixon now got muscle now. All right now. Until then, he didn't even knew that the anointing of God, the strength of God already left him. Hey, where's my strength? And that the Philistine came, cut his hair, and then he lose, you know, his anointing left, and he's no longer strength, and he gouged his eye out. So what's the story here? In chapter 16 of the book of Judges, then Samson prayed to the Lord. At that moment, he was tied to two pillars. He remembered God and says, Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more and let me, with one blow, get revenge on the Philistine for my two eyes, because they have gouged out his two eyes. God, strengthen me just once more. I don't know more about you. Sometimes we feel in certain ways. Yes, we're all human, right? We feel in certain ways and all that. And sometimes you can wonder whether God still wants to use you anymore. But God provide a way for Samson to redeem, okay, whatever mess that he has done in his whole life. And here, Samson prayed, please God, strengthen me just one more. I don't know about you. Probably some of you needed this. You say, God, use me just once more. Lord, strengthen me just once more. Be quiet now. Now, Samson. Okay, now fine. Nehemiah. Then we go about all times. All right, now. Nehemiah was called to rebuild the wall. The burden that increased in his, he can actually serve the king, being a cupbearer, and then before the king drink water, the best of the wine. Oh, very nice. I'll drink a bit more, okay, now king. Enjoying his life as a king. Of course, he risked his life because if it's a poison, he died first, right? All right, now. At that moment, facing opposition during the rebuilding of the wall. So in such a way, okay, the whole kind of story short, they have the letters, the authority and all that, so gather the people to rebuild the wall. And of course, Nehemiah has enemies. If you read the Bible, you have Sanballat, Tobiah, and all that, right? Okay, now, you don't know what I'm talking about. Okay, maybe next time we expound on the book of Nehemiah. Now, in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 9, he come to a place that they were all trying to frighten us. That means the enemy came. Does this Sanballat, Tobiah, all this coming to frighten them, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. But I pray, Lord, strengthen my hands. Now, Nehemiah has a strategy when he gathered the people to rebuild the wall. One hand is to rebuild, put the bricks in order. The other hand is the sword. How to work like that? Very difficult. But he gathered the people like this, and he has a defense mode with him. Now, sometimes you look at those movies, they're fighting all that with a sword. I don't know whether you have carried any of the sword before. Let me tell you, it's so heavy. You basically have to take two hands and carry the sword. Right? Chang, chang, chang. You see all those movies, right? Some, they fight in such a way, they have to tie, all right, the sword to their hands so that they won't lose their sword and they continue to fight. All right? Some, they put glue, okay, I don't know. All right, to fight. Now, so here is Nehemiah praying, Lord, I pray, now strengthens my hand. Now, I don't know what you're going through, things that you're doing, not able to complete, but you can pray that, Lord, strengthen my hand for me to complete. God's strength for Nehemiah was to overcome external opposition, internal conflicts, and complete the task at hand. Also pray, okay, like our church fundraising for this season. Now, we are just at the beginning. Now, I'll pray, Lord, strengthen each of our hands that we can complete, okay, this sale, okay, purchase, okay, of this premise. Amen? All right? And for all of you, I do not know certain things that you have been doing. Let God's strength be upon you so that you can complete the task that you have in your hands. Amen? All right. Now, I want to go on strength at all times. It will go very quickly. Number one, strength in the new beginning. If you know Joshua chapter 1 verse 7, and if you read that every beginning, God is there to strengthen you. You want to start a new business? You want to start a new family? What else? New baby come along? Lai and Pauline? Okay, who else having baby coming along? Okay, now. Okay, now, anything new that you're doing and you have prayed and you commit to the Lord, the Lord is always there to strengthen you. Now, Joshua taking upon the baton from Moses. Only be strong. The Lord told Moses, Joshua, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. The shoe that Joshua is wearing is not easy. He's wearing a very big shoe. Although Moses can be very small. Okay, now anyway. So that means the amount of stress or burden upon him, and the Lord came to encourage him, be strong and be courageous. In 2 Samuel 2:7, that is David when he became king. Now therefore, let your hands be strengthened and be valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah has anointed me king over them. So in every new beginning, the Lord is there to strengthen you. Can I have a good amen? All right, now next. Somebody help me? David, okay, now. Strength in times of extreme trial and crisis. Throughout this year, I don't know if you have time or in the past, your trial and crisis, how you go through. This Joseph, Genesis 49, verse 24. But this is how, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hand were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Now, this chapter 49 is the moment where Jacob prophesied over Joseph. All right? That prophecy was about the strength, okay, and the arm of his hand made strong, okay, by the mighty God. Now, we all knew about Joseph. Yes, yes, no, yes, huh? Joseph was betrayed by his brothers. How many? 10 brothers. He was betrayed. Thank God for his elder brother, Reuben. They said, don't kill this brother. Let's sell him, okay, to Egypt. At least earn some money here right now. He was betrayed what? He was betrayed by his master's wife. Remember? Yeah, he was betrayed his master's wife. He was betrayed by his jailmate because for not remembering him. He can all kind of things that he was being betrayed, rejected, and all that. He can have all the bitterness that he wants in the world. He has all the rightful position to be bitter and to be angry and to take revenge. He has all that. He's qualified, so to speak. But did he? He did not. This prophecy was given to him that the arms of his hand were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. And in all that he chose to forgive, he told all his 10 brothers, it is God who has placed you, that he forgive, that's where his position be, and save the whole nation, okay, of Israel. Whatever extreme trial and crisis that you are in, God has a purpose through that. Casey and I was just talking over the dinner the other day, right? The one that wrote the book, Climb the Mount Everest, he able to reach the Mount Everest, the top of Mount Everest, and the rest who went with him did not. And the beauty is, he is blind. Those who can see, cannot reach. Cannot see, can reach. Okay, right? Strange, right? In all time of crisis and trial, God will even make you stronger. Amen? All right, now, number three. In times of building, strength in time of building. This is Haggai, chapter 2, verse 4. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel. It's hard to pronounce, actually, Zerubbabel. You ask 10 people, they pronounce 10 different ways. So don't name your son Zerubbabel. After become Zerubbabel. Okay, now anyway. Said the Lord, be strong. Okay, O Joshua, son of Josedek, okay, the high priest, and be strong. And all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord host. Now, in time of building, this Haggai, in time of building, okay, the temple of the Lord. So the word of God came, and the word, strangely, when it comes to this scripture, let me see, okay, now wait. Now, when I read scripture, I realize when the Lord stayed there, he's talking to three group of people. One, Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel is the prince of authority, right? Then he spoke to Joshua, the high priest. Then he said the third one, all you people. In other words, God wants to come to strengthen each and everyone, every level, okay, of people. Okay, strength in time of building. Amen? All right, so be strong. Fourth one, strength in the most irreconcilable moment. Have you ever come to a place that you know this situation has no answer? This situation has no solution. This situation has no hope. I have given up. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 8 says, here is Elisha. That was his moment. Before that was his moment that he won the greatest victory in the universe. He fight against the Baals and all that. God sent fire and all that. He won the victory, all right? And then because of one word that came out from the Queen Jezebel, I will kill this Elijah. Just of one word by one woman. You know, in every successful man, there's a woman. Correct or not? Every fallen man is also a woman. Here was this Queen Jezebel say, I will kill, take this life of Elijah. He ran for his life. He actually went into depression. Right? He wanted to kill himself. Not say kill himself. He asked God to kill him. God, take away my life. God, kill me. Lah, you know? Okay, so he rose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days, 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. Cut the story short. Nah, they was in so depressed that God came to him by what? By a bird. First was a raven that sent the food. Second time was an angel. Angel make breakfast for him. And then he ate it. All right. And then after that, he came back for 40 days, 40 nights for his next mission, for his next assignment without food for 40 days, 40 nights. Because he ate the angel food. Hey, okay. Fasting, I cannot say angel food. Okay, now. So in other words, the Lord came, okay, to strengthen him. Now, number five, strength when we are out of strength. When you don't have any more strength, strength come. All right, now, Psalms 18:35, back to David, in Psalms 18 just now, you gave me your shield of victory and your right hand sustained me. You stooped down to make me great. Zechariah verse 4 and 6, he said to me, this is the word of the Lord of Zerubbabel, not my might, not my power, but my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. When you come to a place, Lord, it's not our strength. Lord, it's not our doing. It's not our praying. It's not our whatever things that you think of that is your work lah, or my work lah, and all that lah. But we have to come to a place where strength, when we are out of strength, that is not my might, nor my power, but my spirit, says the Lord. Amen. All right, so as we close, how to be strong then? You have the sumo, you have the Batman, and the Yoda. Okay, now. This is to make you happy only. All right, now. Back to this scripture, Ephesians 6, and I will end. Paul said this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Okay, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Somebody who mistreated you, somehow there's a devil working behind the person. Ah, okay, now. But against rulers, against authorities, against the power of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil and the heavenly realms. So, to continue what I said, since somebody is behind there working, right? The spirit working now. You choose to love this person even more. Because the evil don't understand love. You understand? Nah? The evil come what? The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Yes? Kill, steal, and destroy. He doesn't understand love. So if you respond with love, I hate you, I scold you, I say all kinds of words to you, and you love me? You cannot understand, you cannot comprehend. All right? That will bring the person, okay, back to the Lord. Now, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground after you have done everything to stand. Understand? So, in a boxing ring, as long as you stand, you still win. You fall flat, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, you're gone, right? As long as you stand, you still win. We just watch police story, Jackie Chan. Okay, now, anyway, there's Jackie Chan. Okay, be strong, right? So, how to be strong? Paul said, pull on the whole armor of God. Therefore, pull on the full armor of God. So in other words, to be strong, whatever it is, how to walk in unity, how to walk in love, how to walk in the light, put on the full armor of God. We have no time to go through the probably another series that will talk about the full armor of God. Okay, what are these full armor of God? Okay, what are these full armor of God? Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions, especially go up to Penang Hill, and with all kinds of prayers, requests, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Amen. All right, now. So when you look at this scripture, what do you see? In first glance, you actually see the belt, you see the breastplate, you see the feet fitted, it's your shoe, Adidas, all right now, the shield, the helmet, the sword, and the spirit. Yes, so we see all these 7 pieces of the full armor of God. Now, you cannot just wear one. Okay, go to the wall and wear Adidas. Cheng, 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 cheng. Oh, you can escape, I can run. Okay, how to fight? Cannot. You cannot just wear the shoe.
All right, now. So you need the full piece of the full armor of God. The belt. You talk about the belt. Do you know the belt? Which one is the most important? The belt, right? No, everything is important. You must wear all as one whole piece right now. The belt actually holds everything together. Yes. If you don't wear belt, jatuh or drop. Drop already. Hey, malu. Okay, shame. Exposed. Cannot. All right now. Okay, belt. Okay, now. Let me let you see you next slide and then I'm going to end. Now, this belt is the truth. So we got to ask ourselves, this full armor of God, are you living in truth? Are you in Christ and you're living in truth? Or are you still living in the lie? All right? It's going to stand in the truth. And then when you talk about breastplate of righteousness, the breastplate that protect your heart, okay, being kept your heart pure. Our righteousness, Bible says, is like filthy rags. The righteousness that we have is God, Jesus who died on the cross, okay, that make you righteous, just like Sean. I don't know. Okay, breastplate, okay, protect, all right now. The shoe fitted is peace, shalom. Now, each time when you meet people, is that peace? Or it's always antagonized, it's always irritation and all that. Is that peace? You're wearing a shoe. You come in the name of the Lord. You come in the name of peace. Or it's always fighting. Peace. All right? Now, then the shoe, faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing, okay, the message of God. How's your word life? All right? When arrows of the evil come, how you counterattack? Jesus is written. It's written. It's written. The arrows come. It's written. Okay, whatever. These arrows will be extinguished. Take the helmet of salvation. So your helmet is salvation. Protect your mind. How you come to know Jesus? Because you understand how Jesus came to die for you. At the same time, if we don't renew our mind, okay, if you don't renew your mind, you can easily go into stress mode because you don't understand. Because there are many people who could not understand. They thought there's no way out. They ended up taking their own life. You know, this is where salvation, it rescue you, protect your mind. All right? Word of God, the Bible, and all kinds of prayer and requests. Amen? All right? This is what we call the seven undeniable, the armor of God that all of us should wear upon. All right? Now, and can I have a worshiping back? When you are found in Him, His strength is found in you. Amen? So again, if you are... Where's my $1? Okay. If you are 1 ringgit, why can you buy with 1 ringgit now? Right now. Friends, if you are in Christ, think about the strength that you can have because now you are in Christ. Think about the richness that you can have. It's in Christ. Think about the love that you can have and share abroad. Think about the hope in Christ because you're in Christ. So when you are found in Him, His strength is found in you. Say with me. 1, 2, 3. When you are found in Him, His strength is found in you. Now change the syllable to when I am found. Okay, when I am found in Him, His strength is found in me. All right? 1, 2, 3. When I am found in Him, His strength is found in me. Can I have a good amen? Amen. All right, now. So, by ending, I say, be strong. You know, I'm so tempted to tell the team to sing one very old song, but the one I know those days we sing the song, be bold, be strong for the Lord. God is with you, right? Now, it comes from this scripture in Joshua 1:9. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord, listen here, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen? Right, shall we all stand on our feet? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, just before that, I need to pray for Justin. Justin, will you come? Justin will be leaving this Friday, right, for his tertiary studies. He finished his IGSC, okay? IGSCE.
IGCSE.
Okay. You cannot remember A, B, C, D, E. All right, you heard the E, right? Okay. That means he finished his O-level in Pelita, and then he's going to further his study in
Mapua, okay? Mapua, all right? He told me that that's the best engineering university in Philippines where Kim Lovriel okay, graduated, all right? Okay, praise the Lord. Kim, why don't you come? Since you are from there, you're going there, right? I asked the rock leaders, Jonathan Chong, David Dixon, Agnes, okay, come, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. What else? Dixon, David.